Now flip with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And tonight we're going to talk some more about overcoming fear and living a fear-free life. And I want to talk to you tonight about just some basic things about fear. I don't want to get too far out ahead of myself. Something that happens in church services often. And I believe that it's not happening in this service tonight, and I pray that it doesn't happen particularly in the services that I minister in, because those are the ones that I'm responsible over. But you want to make sure that you're hearing accurately what God's saying. You know, I can say one thing, and if you let the devil get involved, by the time it gets to you, you can hear totally something else. So I've already prayed over that tonight. I've already prayed that you would hear accurately. But you know, that requires you to pay attention, doesn't it? Right? You don't want to hear, you want to hear what the Spirit of God's saying. And if you hear what He's saying, there's no confusion in Him, is there? Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. And with God, there's no confusion. So we're not going to walk in confusion tonight. God's going to speak, and you're going to hear accurately what He's saying. Okay? Now we're going to talk tonight some more about the basics of fear. And I said that because I don't want to get too far out ahead of where God wants us to go. You know, we got to build line upon line, don't we? I can't assume that you know something. And we want to start off, and we just want to build it through the Word of God. So I want to tell you some basic things about fear. And that way you won't hear me say one thing and think I said one thing, and I'm up here thinking I didn't say that. Right? I want you to hear what the Word's saying, what the Spirit of God's saying. Now, are you in Philippians chapter 1? Now, let's just start off with this question here. What's God's will for you where fear is concerned? Does He want you to have some? Now, just you can answer if you want to, but we're going to not take your word for it or my word for it. We're going to go to the Word. Are there times that God wants you to be afraid? Is there ever a time where He would want you to walk in fear? Now we know we're to fear Him, but that word fear means reverence or respect. But is there ever a time where He would want you to be afraid? And is it ever okay to be afraid? Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at a scripture in John 14 first. I got you in Philippians. Look at John 14. Let me give you a scripture for that. John 14. Let's look at verse 1, and then we're going to skip all the way down to verse 27. Now, in verse 1, this is in red letters, isn't it? So who's talking here? Jesus is, isn't He? And He is the head of the church, is He not? He's the one that you call Lord. That means master. And whoever you call Lord, you should do what He says, shouldn't you? So this is serious, isn't it? This isn't just Him talking. He says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in Me." That word troubled means afraid, anxious or distressed. Go to verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is that Jesus commanding you to not be afraid? Is that His command? Is that commandment as serious as thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not lie? Are those all the same level of seriousness? Is it ever okay to tell a little white lie? Just a little one, I'm saying. Never okay to lie. Is it ever okay to commit just a little bit of adultery? Just murder, just a little bit, you know, no big deal. Is it ever okay? Then would it be okay for us to ever be afraid? Are you seeing this now? This is a commandment, isn't it? Don't change it when you get over here when we start talking about fear. No, this is the Lord of the church, the Master, Jesus, the one that we call Lord, telling you, do not let your heart be afraid. That's a commandment, isn't it? Now, in the Bible, I just did this quick. This is an approximate estimate. I looked through a lot of scriptures. And there could be more. I'm certain there aren't less. But 63 times in the Bible, God said, "Fear not." 63. Fear not. fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I just said it 5, and it already seems repetitive. He said it 63 times in his word, fear not. 26 times he said, be not afraid. 63 times, fear not. 26 times he said, be not afraid. 22 times he said, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. 57 more times he said these phrases, fear ye not, fear thou not, fear him not, fear them not, be not thou afraid, be not ye afraid, neither fear ye, you shall not fear, fear no more, none shall make you afraid, none shall make thee afraid, none shall make them afraid, none shall make thou afraid, in nothing be terrified, take no thought, don't be faint-hearted, be careful for nothing, and don't be troubled. 57 times he said all those phrases. Then 40 times he said phrases like this, be of good courage. That would insinuate fear not, right? Can't be courageous and fear not. Other times he said, take courage. Other phrases, 40 times. Be of good courage. Take courage. Be of good cheer. In the New Testament, Jesus said that a lot. That means be of good courage. Be sober. That means be calm and collected in spirit. That would insinuate don't be fearful, don't fret or have anxiety. Be still. Said those phrases 40 times. And then another 9 or 10 times or so, there were scriptures in there that said, I will not fear. Whom shall I fear? And on and on and on. But I added all those up, and approximately 215 references regarding fear not. 215 times. I don't think that there's, I don't know, but I would guess there's not a subject in the Bible that he referenced more than fear not. 215 times. He said, fear not, don't be afraid, take courage. Is this important? Now, would it have been important if he said it once? If he said it once, it would have been really important. But he thought it to be so important that I'm going to put it in here over 215 times to make sure that they understand this. Constantly repeating myself over and over again, fear not. If he said it once, it would have been important. But he said it 215 times. Now, let's look at this scripture in Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 28 here. In nothing be terrified. Let me get there. Philippians chapter 1. And it says there in verse 28, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. Now let me read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. Now the first four words were, and in nothing, in no thing, be terrified. That word terrified means frightened or in fear. So is there going to ever be a situation or circumstance where you're going to get afraid and God's going to say, well, that's okay this time? Did he tell you to in nothing be terrified? The Amplified Bible says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents or adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness, praise God, will be a clear sign to them of their impending destruction. So when he sees you consistently being fearless, what he knows is that that's a sign that I'm going to be destroyed and defeated in their life. Did you hear me? When he sees you being fearless, he knows that's a sign of what of the future for me to come. And if they're fearless, then I know my future is destruction. Now, you're not excited about this in the natural right now, but I've already confessed you're excited about this. So you're excited. Now, in nothing be terrified. So if it's a sign to him when you're fearless that he's going to be destroyed, then what would be the sign to him if you're fearful? He's got you. See, I'm reading the Bible, right? Now, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything. So it's never going to be okay for you to operate in fear. Go to Revelation 21 with me. There will never be a circumstance where fear is acceptable or okay with God. Now, if he told you to fear not, he's not going to tell you to do something and not give you all the grace, all the strength, all the power and the tools and equipment necessary to get the job done. Now, so if he told you to fear not, then what that tells me is there is everything in you and me that we need to walk free from fear. I don't need to ask for anything. I have been equipped with everything necessary to live a life where I fear not. Now, are you in Revelation 21? In nothing be terrified. So I don't care who it is that's walking in fear. Fear's not okay for anybody at any time. You know, there was a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where it said the Apostle Paul took the... He was talking about all the tribulation he was going through. And he said one of the things that he was dealing with was the care of the churches. He said he took the care of the churches. Now that word care is the same word in 1 Peter. It said, cast your care on me. And that word care flows in the same vein as fear. It's anxiety, worry. Fear is the root of worry and anxiety. If you're not fearful, you won't be worried about anything. Now he said, I've taken the care of the churches. Was that okay? Somebody say, I'm not going to say that about Apostle Paul. You're bolder than I am. Hey, look, I love... Hey, that's one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of the earth. But was it okay for him? It wasn't okay. You know, there was only one perfect guy, right? Only one perfect who never took the care, never walked in fear, never did it ever. Okay, and that was Jesus, right? Now, Paul, he missed it from time to time, didn't he? Like you and me. Because he's a man like us, right? Was it okay for him to pick up the care and be afraid? Was it okay for Moses to be afraid to lead the people out of Egypt? Was that okay? And God was constantly giving him his word. Why? To get rid of that fear. Okay? Now, let's look at this. How does God feel about fear? Revelation 21. So I think we answered the question. What's God's will where fear is concerned? Fear not, right? 200 times and plus, fear not. Does he want you to have some? No. Is there a time where he'll want you to be afraid? No. Is it ever going to be okay? Are you ever going to say, God, no, look, you don't understand. You look how bad it was. He's going to say, I understand that, but you have a commandment here to fear not. Can you do it? Is there grace and power available for you and me to do what he's asking us to do? Now, Revelation 21, look at verse 7. Now, we answered that question, so let's stop talking about this. How does he feel about fear? Look at Revelation 21, look at verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, okay, so just fearful and unbelieving, that's not too bad, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. According to God, look at the company that fear keeps in his eyes. Abominable, murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, lying, whoremongering. See the company fear keeps? So according to God, operating in fear is on the same level as all those other things. All the people that did those things ended up in the same place. I don't think that we've really got a revelation of how serious fear is to God and how much he hates it. He hates it. Now, let me just say this for before I get ahead of myself. Just because you slip and fall into fear, if you're saved, you're not going to end up in the lake of fire. Right? You know, you're going to heaven. But looking at this scripture just gives you insight into how God feels about fear and what he thinks about it. You mean, so you're not going to hell just because you got in fear one day. If Jesus is your Lord, you're going to heaven. You understand that, right? But in God's mind, he says fearful and unbelieving and whoremongering and sorcering, idolatry and all that. I don't like any of it. And it all must be on the same level here. All in the same category. Is a little idolatry okay? Not, come on. No, just a little bit now. No bit. How about a little whoremongering? Ask your wife that. Now, no, it's not okay. Now, do you see that God puts fear in with sorcery and idolatry and whoremongering? And he puts lying in there too, doesn't he? Hates it. Go to Psalm 45 with me. We're taking our time, aren't we? You're getting it. You're excited about it. You're going to be doers of it. I'll tell him myself, I used to preach, I was listening to myself preach one day, and I kept asking every 5 seconds almost, is it making sense to you? Is it making sense to you? And I wanted to shut myself off. I thought, this guy's getting on my nerves, and this is me. Stop saying that. And what God showed me is that is a statement of unbelief. I don't need to ask you if it's making sense to you when I've already believed that it will make good sense to you. You'll have supernatural understanding. So I'm not even going to take your word for it because I've already prayed. So now I just start saying you're getting it. It's making sense. You're excited about it. You're going to do it and you're going to get results. See, that's a lot better, isn't it? Psalm 45. Look at verse 7. Psalm 45, verse 7. Let's look at this verse here. Praise the Lord. Psalm 45, verse 7. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Now, this verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 9, and it's talking about Jesus in that verse. He says, you love righteousness, you hate wickedness. Does God love righteousness? Now, this word wickedness means wrong. Is fear wrong? Does he hate it? He hates it. Now, part of loving and respecting God is loving what he loves and hating what he hates. You know, that's very respectful. It would be disrespectful to treat something lightly that God hates. Are you seeing that now? It's very disrespectful. If he hates it and I think, well, it's no big deal, that's irreverent. One scripture in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know why that's let me say it like this. To reverence God or respect him is to hate evil. You know why that's respectful? Because I hate what he hates. If he hates it, then it's no light thing to me. I hate it. And if he loves it, I love it. Are you getting this now? Does he hate fear? Should you hate it? Should you treat it lightly? Like, oh, it's no big deal, you know, just a little bit, okay, you know, everybody's afraid of something. Should you treat it like that? Or should you hate it? Every time the thought of fear comes up, you should say, I hate fear. I'm against fear. Fear is wicked. Fear has no place in my life. I have the same attitude about fear that God does. I am as much opposed to it as against it that I could possibly be. I heard this said, and I don't have a scripture for this, so you can take this or leave this part of it. But I agree with this. Watching a horror movie that puts fear in you is, and now look, you can go, now watch this, is as wicked as watching another movie that you would lust after, an adult film of some sort. Is fear wicked? Is adultery wicked? Is one more wicked than the other? No, wicked is wicked. Wrong is wrong. There's no levels in the realm of the spirit. I know we made levels of wrong, haven't we? Well, you know, this is okay, but this, I would never do that. Wrong is wrong. Wicked is wicked. Fear is wicked. I hate it. You hate it? Okay, let's go to the next scripture then. John 14. Let's not treat it lightly then. It's serious, isn't it? Now, we're going to talk some more as we go about why it's so serious. But one reason it's so serious is because it opens you up it opens up the door for Satan to your life. Now, do you see why God hates him? Because when you operate in fear, the next thing that's going to come is you being oppressed. God doesn't want his people oppressed. He hates it when his children are oppressed and being overpowered and conquered by the devil. He hates it. The only reason he hates fear is because it's bad for you. And it's going to bring bad things. It's going to, the things that you fear, that the scripture in Proverbs says fear will bring with it a snare. Okay? Now, are you in John 4? 1 John. Did I tell you to John 4? I meant 1 John 4. 1 John 4. And look at verse 16 down through here. Taking our time, right? It's okay to come to church and be taught, isn't it? Okay. Just to look at scriptures, right? And get stirred up. And get your spirit fed. That's good, isn't it? Verse 16. And we've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Now, go down to verse 18. There is no fear in love. Who is love? There's no fear in God, is there? Now, if there's no fear in him, how much fear should there be in you? See, who are you supposed to imitate? Ephesians 5:1 says you're supposed to imitate him and copy him. If he doesn't have... Now, how much fear does he have in him? Zero. None at all. How much do you think you should have in you? Now, I'm going somewhere with this because we've heard statements like a little fear is healthy. You need something to keep you out of the street, you know. You got to have a little fear is healthy. Now, I'm going to deal with all this, so just listen the whole way through. Let me go back to what I first started. If the preacher says something that makes you mad, at least let him finish the whole message. Or something you go, whoa, what did he say there? Don't just turn him off when that happens, because there might be more explanation to come. Okay? Don't just turn me off if I say something you're like, whoa, what did he say there? I'm always going to give you scripture. Okay? Now, God's got zero fear in him. We're to imitate him. So there should be no fear in us. Do you agree with that? Now, look what it says here. But perfected love... Now, don't misunderstand that word perfect. Perfect doesn't mean like what you're thinking probably is 10 out of 10 all the time. This word perfect means love that's growing and developing and maturing. So it says growing love or developing love, maturing love, will cast fear out because fear has torment. So growing or maturing in God, growing and maturing in love, will cast fear out. That cast out means it will throw it out the doors and does not care where it lands. Do you see God's attitude about fear? His attitude about fear is this: I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. And if you don't leave on your own accord, I'll throw you out because you ain't going to be here. Anybody? Well, I won't say that TV show. I bet. How about the? This is the one I was going to say. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anybody ever watch that show? Oh yeah. Oh, that's surprising. Okay, I thought I was dealing with a little older crowd. No offense. Now, do you remember when DJ Jazzy Jeff was over there and he'd say something, and Uncle Phil would throw him out the door, and you just see him be flying out the door? That's how God feels about fear. He doesn't care where it lands. He doesn't care what happens to it. Just no, it's not staying here. What should your attitude be? Same thing. Hate it. It's not staying here. Okay? You're getting it, aren't you? Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. That's his attitude towards fear. Now, Psalm 34. I want to just throw this statement out there, and I'll minister on this more as I get the opportunity to hear to you on Wednesday nights, that I fear is the force that Satan's whole kingdom runs on. It's in other words, it makes his kingdom work the way faith makes God's work. That do you understand that if we were on the earth and nobody believed God, nobody believed in him, nobody believed his word, nobody was saved, do you know that God would have no way in? Are you hearing me? Now, he would have the Holy Spirit here to try to convince people and convict people, but his kingdom could, Do you understand his kingdom in the earth can't advance without you and me? He needs the body. That's why we're here, right? And what does his body? He needs faith from his people to get involved and advance his kingdom. If nobody believes him, it's going to be hard for his kingdom to advance. Well, the same way Satan needs fear to advance his kingdom. And with no fear, he's paralyzed, crippled, can't do anything. You should be getting excited about this right now. So what do you think would happen in your life if you lived free from fear? He would constantly see access denied. Can't come in. The scripture says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. It said, cast all your care on God. He cares for you. Now that would insinuate, get rid of all your care and fear and all that. Then it says, be sober. That means be calm and collected in spirit. And then it says, be vigilant, which means be on guard and on the lookout, because your adversary, the devil, roams around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What's he looking for? He's looking for somebody that's going to pick the care back up. Because if you pick the care back up, then he can come in and devour you. But do you see why? He's seeking whom? Notice it didn't say he's just devouring whomsoever he wills. He's seeking whom he may devour. And those who refuse fear, he may not devour. Okay, I'm getting excited about this already. Praise God. Now, Psalm 34. Let's kick over a few sacred cows, dispel a few myths about fear. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get tonight, so I want to say this as we go. Let me do it like this. Let me do it the way the Lord showed me here. Psalm 34, are you there? First myth, myth number one. Everybody is or has to be afraid of something. You ever heard that before? Well, everybody's afraid of something. Everybody has to be afraid of something. In other words, if you're on this earth, you got to be afraid of something. Now, look at Psalm 34. Look at verse 4. Now, that's a myth. Okay, I'm talking about myths. That means not true. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from some of my fears, because I have to be afraid of something. Delivered him from all the fears. So is this guy afraid of anything? Well, if you've been delivered from all fears, then you don't have any. And if you don't have any, then do you have any fear? No, because you've been delivered. So does everybody have to be afraid of something? Is everybody afraid of something? Why? See, you were looking a little shy there. No. No, because they that have been delivered from fear and will walk that out fear nothing. Now, let me keep going. Are you going to stick with me here now? Let me finish now. Will everybody have the opportunity to fear? Yes. Will everybody have a fearful thought cross their mind? Yes. Will everybody have feelings of fear rise up from time to time? Yes, but everybody does not have to be afraid. Do you see? Now, Lord, there, I'll say it now. There's a difference between feeling afraid and being afraid. Big difference. You know, you can feel one way and be another. You can feel depressed and be joyful. So just because you feel depressed doesn't mean you are. Right? So just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are. Feeling afraid is not being afraid. Being afraid insinuates acting. Being is acting. When you start acting afraid, then you are afraid. But just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are yet. It's just the opportunity to walk in fear. But if you feel afraid and in the middle of that feeling you say, no, I will not fear. Jesus delivered me from fear. Then see, you're not afraid. Come on now. Are you getting this now? Don't let the feelings tell you what you are. Now, look, I'm telling you, if you're on the earth, at some point in time, the feeling of fear is going to rise up. At some point in time, a fearful thought's going to come. Now, I'm just going to flow here, because I'm off this now. Frightened emotions and fearful thoughts. Do you understand that emotions and thoughts operate in the realm of your soul? your mind, your will, your emotions. And emotions are like thoughts in that you can't control which ones come. You ever felt like slapping somebody after church? Now you're taking one step farther. Slapping somebody after church in church. Well, see, you don't want to feel like that. See, that's the enemy through your soul realm giving you, seeing if you'll take the feeling. Don't slap anybody in church, please. Don't slap anybody after church. Now, but see, the feeling came. You know, you have weird feelings, don't you, sometimes? We all have weird feelings. Like, why? I shouldn't be feeling like, really mad feeling or a lustful feeling. You know, we all have feelings and thoughts. And feelings are like thoughts in that you can't control which ones come. But you can control which ones stay and which ones go. So now, just because you feel afraid does not mean that you are guilty of being afraid or walking in fear. Okay? You got it, aren't you? Okay. Now, did you get myth number one? Everybody has to be afraid of something. No, you don't. Now, will everybody have the opportunity to fear? Yes. Will everybody have a fearful thought from time to time? Yes. Will everybody have to overcome the feeling of fright and frightened emotions? Yes. But nobody on the earth has to yield to the fearful thought, yield to the fearful emotion, and be afraid. Nobody. Okay. I mean, I'm just so excited about this. Do you understand how good a life would be free from fear? Remember, this, Jesus said, "My peace I've left with you." Right. Now, watch this now. Look, whose peace? His, right? So you didn't get some second-rate peace. You got His peace. Now, what was His peace? Now, look at His peace in operation. They came to kill Him and surrounded Him. And what did peace do? Didn't run out the back, walked through the middle. You have that peace. Could you be surrounded by people who are trying to kill you and just feel like, not a problem in the world? Remember when the storm came and the boat was filling up with water? He was sleeping during the whole thing. What kind of, the storm was of hurricane proportions. And His peace just kept sleeping right through the storm. You have that peace. Remember what He said, "My peace I've left with you. My peace I give to you, not as man gives, not as the world gives, but I give it." And then He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You have His peace. Now, myth number two. A little fear is good, or a little fear is healthy. Well, James 1:17, we're running out of time here, so I'm just going to quote a few of these. James 1:17 said that my watch was a couple of minutes fast. Praise the Lord. Just got blessed. James 1:17 says every good gift comes from God. So anything good comes from Him, right? And it says that He has not given you the spirit of fear. So it must not be good, and it must not be healthy. Are you with me? Go to the next one here with me. How about this one? Myth number three. Everybody is going to have fear, and the best we can do is just learn to live with it and manage it. No, see, everybody's going to have it, so the best you can do is just learn to manage it. Now, let me give you a scripture, right? What does perfected love do? Perfected love manages fear, deals with it. No. Cast it out. That means no more. That the Amplified Bible says it expels every trace of terror. So can we do more than just manage fear? Can we do more than just learn to live with it? We can live overcoming it with none of it in our lives. Now, will you have the opportunity to fear? Might your knees be shaking sometimes? And thoughts just cross in your mind. And in the middle of all that, well, let me not get ahead of myself. what should you do? You should say, with my knees shaking and these thoughts crossing my mind, I just want to let everybody know here, I will not be afraid. Now, myth number four. It's not realistic to think that you could have no fear. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 says, Jesus delivered you from the fear of death. And then we read John 14, 27. He said, don't let your heart be afraid. Is it realistic then, if Jesus delivered you from fear and told you to not let your heart be afraid, to believe that a person could have no fear and live a fear-free life? Is that realistic? Is it realistic to believe a person could live on this earth and never have a fearful thought or never have an emotion of fear come up in them? No, that's not realistic. But is it realistic to think that a person could have thoughts of fear, emotions of fear, try to rise up in their life, and then every time those thoughts and emotions rise up, the person says, no, I fear not? Very realistic. Okay. But I didn't lose anybody on that, did I? No fear. How much is in God? None. How much is in you and me? Zero. Well, say, I don't feel like zero right now. Well, start saying zero fear. Zero fear. Okay, next one. I'll start to wind this down here. You're getting something out of this, aren't you? You're excited about it. You're doers of it. Good looking doers of the word. And you're going to go home and you're not going to be afraid another day in your life. You're not going to fear your kids dying young. You're not going to fear you dying young. You're not going to fear the economy or you losing your job. Or how about this fear? The fear that my dreams and desires will never come to pass. You're not going to fear that anymore. You're not going to fear any of that. You're going to be free from it. See what's happening to the atmosphere in here right now? Why? Because doors are being closed. Access to the enemy is being denied. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 56 with me. Oh, well, tell you what, go to Psalm 3 first, Psalm 3. Now let me backtrack a little bit here. There's a difference between feeling afraid and being afraid. People oftentimes think that feeling afraid and being afraid is the same thing. But it's not the same thing. Being afraid is acting on the fear. Feeling afraid is just comes. You can't control whether or not that comes. The feelings of fear and being afraid are two different things. I was ministering to this lady a couple years ago, and she was having the feelings of fear. And I said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to never... Well, how did I say that, Lord? Remind me of that. I was telling her that she's free from fear and she doesn't have any fear. Now, she didn't know any better. I was teaching her. I was helping her. And she said, yeah, I know that's what it says, but I'm afraid. Now, what I said, okay, I understand that you feel afraid, but what we're going to do is we're never, never going to say that again. We're never going to say that you're afraid. I know you feel afraid, but we're never going to say that we're afraid ever again. She said, okay. And I said, now this is what I want you to do. Every time a fearful thought comes or you start to feel afraid, I want you to leave the room you're at. I want you to take these scriptures wherever you are. I want you to go and confess these scriptures every time. I said, well, you do it every time. She said, I'll do it. I got to do something. This is overwhelming me. And I said, okay. And then a couple weeks later, she wrote us a letter or called us or emailed or something and said, I just want to let you know I'm not afraid anymore. Now, do you see, she had the opportunity, didn't she? She felt afraid the whole time, but she made a decision to not be afraid. Big difference. Everybody will feel afraid at one time or the other, but nobody ever has to be afraid. Okay? Now, I'm so excited about this. So now, don't mistake the opportunity to fear with actually being afraid and operating in fear. When thoughts come, when emotions come, that's just the opportunity. Okay? Now, when that opportunity comes, don't be afraid. If feeling afraid was being afraid, then how could you ever not be afraid? You couldn't do what the word said, could you? Let me say that again. God told you to be not afraid, didn't he? Don't be afraid. Well, if feeling afraid is being afraid, then how could you ever do that? You can't do that. Because you're going to feel afraid at some point in time. The emotion's going to come. Are you seeing that? So that's not being afraid. That's just feeling afraid. Okay? Got it. I like that. Got it. Now, thoughts and emotions. We talked about that. Now, go. All right, what scripture I got you at here? Psalm 3? Let's look at this. So don't think that when you start feeling afraid that you're guilty of being afraid. No. No, just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are. Some of you have a hard time. No, I'm not going to confess it over here. You're getting it. Yeah. Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are. You ever felt like a dog? Are you one? Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are. You ever felt like you believed God? Watch it now. You ever felt like I'm believing? I'm standing. And you think in your mind, you got thoughts of faith. And then a problem comes and you freak out. And you think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You felt like you believed, but maybe you weren't all the way quite there yet. Are you seeing that? See, you can feel one way, but pressure will reveal what you believe. And what you believe is revealed not in what you think you believe or how you feel you believe, but it's revealed in how you act. That's where your belief is revealed, okay? So just because you feel one way, just because you feel afraid doesn't mean that you are. Okay, now, got just a few minutes left here. What scripture do I have yet? Psalm 3. Okay, let's look at this and then one more. Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Let me get there. Psalm 3. Praise the Lord. You're getting something out of this, aren't you? I can even tell right now it's manifesting. You're excited about this. I can see you getting excited out there. Look at this now. Verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. Did you hear what he said? If 10,000s of people are surrounding you, is there an opportunity to be afraid? Do you think maybe he felt afraid a little bit? Come on now. Think a thought might cross his mind that this is it for me. But in the middle of that, what did he say? I will not be afraid. Remember when Psalm 23, and he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In the valley of the shadow of death, is there opportunity to fear? Might you have some feelings of fear? Might thoughts of fear cross your mind? But what did he say? He said, in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, this is what I'm going to do. I will not fear evil. I fear no evil. Come on now. Go to Psalm one more. Psalm 107. So what are you supposed to do? This is what I'm closing with. When feelings of fear, because see what happens a lot of times, people think, I can't help it if I'm afraid. No, what you can't help if you feel afraid. You can't help if feelings of fear come, but you can help whether or not you be afraid. Amen. You are not helpless against fear. Yes, the feelings will come, but you are not helpless against the feelings when they come. You can run them off as fast as they come. You can do it, right? You're graced, right? If he told you to fear not, can you do it? That's right. Now, Psalm 107. Now, in Deuteronomy, I'm going to go through a few scriptures. You can jot these down if you take notes. In Galatians 3:13, it says, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. That means you've been bought out of it. Bought out of the curse. The curse was everything that came on the earth when Adam sinned. You were bought out by the blood of that curse. Now, Deuteronomy 28 lists that curse, and in the last verses of that chapter, you can write down 64 through the 67, I think it's the end of that chapter. It talks about part of the curse is you being operating in fear day and night. So if that's part of the curse, then what's your relationship with the curse? You've been redeemed from it. So have you been redeemed from fear? Now, what does Psalm 107, verse 2 say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, I know, but I'm afraid. What are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say, I'm redeemed from fear. I fear not. So you might have frightened thoughts. Every 5 seconds, you might have a fearful thought. You might have goosebumps. Your knees are shaking. You feel sick to your stomach. In the middle of all the feelings of fear and all the thoughts of fear, what should we be hearing from the believer's mouth? I fear not. I have no fear. I've been delivered from fear. Jesus freed me from it. I'm redeemed from it. I hate it, and I'll not tolerate it in my life. Should we be hearing that? When you feel afraid, when you have a fearful thought, we should be hearing that. Can you stop the thoughts from coming? No. Can you stop the emotions from coming? But can you run them off when they get there? That's right. In the middle of fear, you can, in the middle of those thoughts and those emotions, you can rise up and say in the name of Jesus, I don't care what surrounds me. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not moved by what I see. I fear no evil. You can do it, can't you? You got something, didn't you? Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. So this is what we're going to do. We're never, ever, 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 ever. Come on now. I should say it 215 times. Ever, ever, ever. We'd be here too long. Ever, ever. We're never, ever, ever again going to say, I am afraid. Did you hear me? Never again. I don't care what it feels like or what it looks like. We all know that you might be feeling afraid, but we want to hear you say, I fear no evil. Never going to say it again. Will you make that declare right now tonight? If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But if you agree with that, say this with me. Say, I'll never again. Never ever. Never, ever. Ever, ever. Again. Say these words out my mouth. That I am afraid. No, I'm free from fear. I'm delivered from fear. When fear attacks, I'll declare boldly in faith that I fear no thing. I fear no evil. I fear no situation. I fear no person. I fear no tragedy. I don't fear sickness. I don't fear poverty. I don't fear death. I fear no evil. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Tell somebody God loves you and I love you.